hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly, and this is Adventures in Woo Woo. And welcome to the renewal, the rejuvenation, the reboot, the phoenix from the flames, the other expressions, the other cliches, in which I am trying my best to go back to the core of what Adventures in Woo Woo was intended to be, which was an honest look at a life lived with having an interest in spirituality and applying the ideas from spirituality, the occult, and all related genres to my life as an artist, as a writer, and as a musician, a dad, a person, a son, just a normal human being, rather than trying to do something from the point of view of an ascended guru teacher type person who claims to know everything and, you know, will bestow his great wisdom on the plebs around us. So I'm certainly not putting myself forward as a teacher in any way. It's a fellow student, someone on the path, or as Crowley likes to say, a fellow sufferer. So yeah, just an aspirant. So the idea of Adventures in Woo Woo is to look at going through the path of magic, spirituality, meditation, etc., etc., as just a normal person, and honestly trying to document the highs, the lows, the problems, the benefits of having such an outlook on your life. So if you feel that is something you are interested in, then stick around and we'll talk about that over the next coming episodes and get into it all. So I thought in this first episode what the best thing to do would be to kind of introduce myself again and kind of put my stake in the ground on what it is I'm attempting to do and what my outlook is in a basic way, and then kind of unpack that then over the next whatever length of time the podcast lasts. Maybe indefinitely, maybe only a small season, who knows. I have learned that as soon as you try to make big plans or try in some way to contract any of these ideas, that it starts to become a bit like work, and then it's harder to motivate yourself to do something that feels like work. But if you try and keep the things as open as possible and allow things to flow and it be as malleable as possible and allow it to be whatever it wants, there seems to be a different energy to it that is much more conducive to wanting to do things or to wanting to be involved and get excited about things. So that's the plan as I start. So let's see what actually materializes, where this actually goes. I have the ideas for the first four or five episodes, and so at least there's kind of a track that I can follow, but I'm very open to turning this into something else as long as it stays to the kind of idea, the goal of being this honest kind of look at what it's like to live a life with a spiritual outlook or a magic outlook, or as a chaos magician, or as whatever it is that I actually am. And that's probably a good place to start and kind of talk about what is my background in spirituality, magic, etc. I first came across spirituality when I think around 11, 12, 13, something like that, probably 12, through my aunt, who had sent over some books. She had been big into theosophy and spirituality and loads of other things, but my interest that when I spoke to her, I was always trying to get her to talk about the spiritual side of things, because I had a deep kind of interest in it, even in a fairly early age. I remember when I was quite young saying I was going to rewrite the Bible and tell people exactly what it really was, what the true story was. So there's some need in me to be anti-establishment, but still having a spiritual interest. She lived in London, and I'm from Ireland, and she sent over some books, and some of which were Stuart Wilde books, which were a huge influence on me for years and years and years. And still to this point, Stuart would be a big influence. I've spoken about him in many different places in the old version of this podcast and on different podcasts and on the website and stuff. So if you want to go to the website, you can do a search and you'll find some of that stuff. Well, he's a huge influence. You know, he's problematic in places. He has very, very kind of set ideas about, say, karma, or, you know, the role of people, or that, you know, that you essentially, an awful lot of what you get out of life is your own fault, or a bit of victim blaming. There's a very New Agey element to him, but there's some greatness to him as well. And he definitely has a chaos magic approach to a lot of stuff, even though I'm not even sure he would be aware of the label of chaos magic at all, but it definitely can be co-opted in that way. The next books she kind of sent me or got me interested in was Theosophy, particularly the work of Alice Bailey. And she eventually, a couple of years later, when I had, you know, grown a deeper interest in, bought me the entire set of the Alice Bailey books, 24 books on various different subjects related to the ageless wisdom. And so that, like, in my teenage years, this is what I was kind of absorbing. I then got, as I furthered through my teenage years, got into people like Alan Watts. I read some Christmas Humphreys. And more Tiosphy. There was a bookshop that opened up in the town. And for whatever reason, the guy who ran it obviously had an interest in all these things and had gotten in books like by Gurdjieff, Alcott. You know, there was Helena Petrova Blavatsky books. There was all of this kind of stuff. So I just kind of absorbed all of this. It was general Buddhist books, but an awful lot of kind of Tiosphy Press type books. And so that was a lot of what was ingrained into my mind. When I was at school, then I got exposed to, I think that's the best way to describe it, to Aleister Crowley through a friend of mine called Ed. You know, he had the books, but they weren't his books, so he couldn't lend them to me. So he was just kind of explaining the different things to me about it. And it was a very basic kind of look at Aleister Crowley. And it was a bit kind of edgelordy, I suppose, and just kind of anti-establishment and some sort of coolness around, I'm into Crowley, you know, and all of these idiots are into whatever they're into. So then into my 20s and stuff like that, it was a bit more whatever I could get. I got into Robert Bevall, Graham Hancock, more Buddhism. There was so few books that were around when I was in my 20s or my teenage years. Like the bookshops, they didn't have the wide selection of books that you can get now. And you certainly didn't have the internet where you could look for these things. So you kind of had to go with what was available, you know. So you go down an Egyptian conspiracy route just because that's the books that were there, you know, or you know, going into secondhand shops and get some weird secret history of the world type stuff that, you know, it's just people making up stuff. And, you know, it was great fun and definitely mind expanding. There was a point too as well when I started getting interested in Hinduism by meeting the various members of the Hare Krishna movement. That was quite eye opening. And I've talked about that recently in a blog post that I have up on Patreon, in which that he says to, I was talking to a guy in the street, Hare Krishna, and he says, of course, everyone knows that the moon is further away from the sun. And although I completely didn't believe that, it kind of opened my mind a bit into see that you could have all of these different ideas. You didn't have to subscribe to the general ideas that everyone around you had, you know, and you could have ideas where the moon was further away from the sun and that there was giant birds flowing through space that were laying eggs, cosmic eggs, and that the Russians had photographs of these things. And it was kind of very eye-opening in that way, rather than, like, you know, I bought it wholesale or I'll get into it or whatever. But I did find there was something very, really nice about the Hare Krishna movement. They were very happy, very welcoming. The food was great. There seemed something in it, and I really enjoyed the kind of bhakti element of it, which is the devotion to, you know, God or to Krishna in this case. But the more I talked to them, and it was particularly around one day I went and was hanging out with them while they were setting up for a festival, I had this exact same conversation with a number of different people from the Hare Krishna movement, like exactly the same, word for word, as if they had learnt it and were just saying it by rote or whatever. And that kind of sheen then was lost of the Hare Krishna-ness, because it kind of felt, oh, this is a cult. Okay, fair enough. You know, that they had lost their individuality and had just become, part of the Borg. So then in my mid to late 20s, I think it was about 26, I went to college and I studied holistic health studies, which was aromatherapy, Reiki, Indian head massage, reflexology, color therapy, kinesiology, and a host of other things. And that was really interesting. But it was geared toward having a career in this kind of thing where you would go on and do massage or aromatherapy and stuff like that. But I was more approaching it as just as a learning, something to do to try and figure out what it is that, you know, spiritually I wanted to be. You know, we have this kind of, what do you want to be? And he said, well, I want to be a fireman or a spaceman or whatever. What religion do you want to be? What outlook do you want to be? And I was still very much, even at that point, a seeker or a searcher, and could never really land fully on something, because I would get into something, I would have an interest in, and then it would kind of, in one way, I suppose, let me down eventually, where you would find that the personalities involved were misogynistic, sexist, or, you know, it was a cult, or had some really weird kind of race issues or self-righteousness, or there was a lot of judgment, or it was always something that as soon as you got past the initial glow or varnish or presentation that, you know, go, oh, this could be for me, and you get in and go, oh no, it's just rubbish. This is just the same stuff dressed up in different clothes. It's the same judgment, it's the same arrogance, it's the same whatever it is, you know. It's just, and it's like, that was always hugely disappointing for me. I found that in many different things. I was a part of the builders of the Adidom at one stage as well, and the people that I became exposed to that were like, had finished the whole course. It's a 15-year correspondence course about the Tarot, Kabbalah, General Spirituality by Anne Davies and Paul Foster Case. And the people who had gone through it, and I had been interacting on a Yahoo group of all things for some, you know, people who were old like me who will remember things like that, they just weren't nice people. They had, and I was going, is this where this teaching leads you to? That you just end up being hugely judgmental, self-righteous, condescending, all of these things. And that was where I got my first taste of that you can be very, in one sense, spiritually advanced and still a really terrible person. That those two modes or those two things don't necessarily correlate with each other. That you can be an intensely brilliant meditator or have deep understanding of Kabbalah or know Tarot inside out or be a very successful case magician and a huge giant arsehole. And that was quite eye-opening because I assumed that the two of them would go together, but clearly not. So when I left 2 years of holistic health studies, I did quite well. I got distinctions and all the things that you could possibly want. I did apply myself quite well to it because I had an interest in it and I wanted to do well. There was kind of, it was like a TV show, a BBC documentary thing that just kind of looked at all of the healing things, aromatherapy, Reiki, acupuncture and all that kind of stuff, and just completely and utterly just dismissed it in a way that seemed quite believable or convincing. They set up people pretending they were healers and they were having the same results as people who were claiming to be massively gifted healers or whatever. I know there's a case to be made that everyone is a healer. But whatever thing that happened at that point, when I'm about 27, 28, it just dissipated the entire thing. Maybe I had become too saturated. Maybe I had just not found what I was looking for and I'd kind of lost hope. Maybe I was interested in other things. My life was in a bit of turmoil at the time. Things were all falling apart. It's, you know, the whole era of your Saturn return, if you believe in such things. But it seems to be, particularly around 27, 28, seems to be the first main crisis that an awful lot of people go through. And a lot of musicians, as we know, tend not to get through it around that age. So I dropped the whole thing for a number of years. I remember my cousin sending me an email and he was talking about something high strange, and so not quite doppelgangers but something, I don't know, astral doubles or something, and I was just going, man, I just don't care about any of this, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to listen to it, I'm just done with all of this. And that was for a number of years until, and this is kind of in one sense to my shame, I found The Secret, that movie, that terrible movie, and whatever was in that, that kind of lit my interest in spirituality, probably because it, as it does, offers you the chance to get everything you ever wanted, and you know that you could have all the things you ever wanted, and you go, well, I'll have a spirituality where I get all the things I want, you know, rather than a spirituality just constantly telling me that everything is suffering, everything is dukkha, everything is struggle, you know, you have to give up everything in order to get your reward, will be great in heaven, I can have the money, I can have, you know, I was going to say the cars, but I don't care about cars, whatever it is that I wanted, and so something again to latch onto. But strangely enough, as my pattern goes, as you get more and more into it and you look at the different teachers that are presented in that, and you see again after the initial glamour it wears away and you go, oh right, it's vapid, it's based on, well, a lot of the new age stuff is based on victim blaming and kind of not taking the entire picture of time, place and circumstance that we find ourselves in and the different influences that you can have. If you aren't rich, successful or fully healthy, then it's your fault for not having this positive attitude, for not in some way, it's the vibes you were giving out. And that is victim blaming, because there's an awful lot more to it than that. While your attitude and your beliefs have a deep impact on the world around you, how you view the world around you and how you experience life, there is stuff that happens that is out of your control. Wars, tax, laws, cultural, society, randomness, although they say nothing is random. If everything is part of the universe, then randomness has to be too. If it's an infinite thing, if all experiences are available, then randomness needs to be as well. And it's all, you know, kind of this notion that if something bad happens to you, if you get cancer, it's your fault. You know, you just have to let go. You just have to love, let go of those feelings of self-hatred or whatever it is. And I hate that. I absolutely hate that. And there's also this notion that is so prevalent in New Age and general spirituality and magic, in kind of like, say, Gnostic stuff as well. Or it's all pervading in all kind of sections, particularly in Western spirituality approaches. It is in the Eastern, but it's only one kind of version of it. So, you know, it seems to be all pervading. I mean, just get to what it is. And it's this idea that the world is an illusion, that the world is something you have to escape, to a awaken from, to overcome, to get away from. And that's in Catholicism too, where, you know, this world is we've been banished here, there was a fall, our whole thing is to get back, get out of it, this is a punishment in some way. You know, it's in many different things, in Vita Vedanta, but not all Vedantas. You know, Advaita is the non-dual, but there's Vita Vedantas. Again, it's kind of spiritual bypassing. Not kind of spiritual bypassing, it is spiritual bypassing, in that none of this matters. Your life doesn't actually really matter. Working on yourself doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if the climate is falling apart. It doesn't matter about, you know, the war. It doesn't matter because none of it is real. It's not really real. It's just God playing a game, or it's a dream that we need to wake up from. And so even working on yourself and becoming a better person, shadow work, as it's, you know, kind of popularly being called now, doesn't really matter, because I too am an illusion. This thing that I think is me isn't really me. It's just a collection of ideas and thoughts just happening in, and it's not really happening. It's just we're deluded, we're in ignorance and all that. And I think an awful lot of that kind of thought, because it's in religion, spirituality, all of the things, is the reason why we're a bit fucked at the minute with regards to all of these things, because we're not taking it seriously enough. We don't think that the world is that serious. We're not working on ourselves, we're not working on the world around us, we're not trying to solve our problems, because for the most part, we don't think they're really real. And so that always kind of never sit well with me, the whole idea of this waking up from a dream in its many, many different forms. And that's something I definitely want to unpack and look through as we go through the next couple of episodes. And I definitely have a sense, a closer sense of what my actual cosmology is and how it works out. And it includes the physical world. It includes matter. It includes the, if you want, the mother principle. Because we very much have the father, the mother, and then the third principle being the child. And we have neglected the mother principle, which is physicality, which is the universe, which is the actual thing, because we've decided that she's not real, that we've decided that it's something to escape from, because it includes suffering and death and all of these things, or that we've been told by all the spiritual gurus who know better than we do, do not believe the evidence of your eyes and your ears, all of this stuff. But I will get into that. That will probably be the next episode. I've been working on that for quite a while, trying to get it all cohesive together, and I feel I'm very close, so that will probably be the next episode. But again, let's be open to see where this goes. So then hang around with kind of New Agey circles again. And New Age was probably the biggest kind of influence on me for a long while. And then I came across, you know, the infamous Grant Morrison Disinfo lecture, which, if you don't know, is Grant Morrison screaming like a banshee, coming up on drugs and being very drunk, talking about sigils and chaos magic and all of these things. And it was just fascinating to me. And I mean, I knew who Grant Morrison was, but I hadn't come across that Disinfo lecture, you know, till late in the game, sometime, whenever it was, this century. You know, I think it's last century. But that just changed everything for me. I got into chaos magic. I got into Robert Anton Wilson. Read an awful lot more Crowley. I hung around with Anton LaVey for a while. Not physically, but in the mental space. Pete Carroll, Phil Hine, Lionel Jukes, you know, Rune Soup, the Baptist Head, all of these things. And it became a massive kind of influence on me. One of the great things I did, and I was trying to challenge myself, my worldview, and trying to get, you know, not be so contracted, was I joined a Facebook group. Some of you may know of. It's CMG, or Chaos Magic Group, which is the greatest chaos magic group of all time, but it's also the worst place on earth in many ways. But it's hard to describe. It's a terrible place. It's also awesome. And it's a great place if you want to spend some time to really get a different view on things and to be rattled in some way about your thoughts, beliefs, approaches and all of that, just to actually engage with it. It has a very much an egregore and a kind of personality that is very trickstery and can be very off-putting when you arrive for the first time, because it just sounds horrible. But it kind of, when you roll with it and you stop taking yourself so preciously and your thoughts so preciously, it's something very good. It's very kind of Discordian in some ways. Interesting. Anyway, that was a great kind of eye-opening and allowed me to just widen and expand a bit and be able to, you know, entertain ideas that I mightn't have previously. It also completely and utterly toughened my skin so much that I end up being an admin of CMG for a while, for a few years. To the point that very little of anyone trolling or saying nasty things to me on the internet has any real power over me, because everything has been said much, 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 much worse to me during my admin stay in CMG. But in fairness, I get very, very little hate on the internet. Most of the messages and interactions I have, in fact, like 99.99999% of it, are all very positive, very friendly, very beautiful. I'm very lucky in that way, just because I just don't engage with the other stuff at all. And so you don't feed the things you don't want to have. So continuing then, very much chaos magic. I probably then got into a bit more of the awakening stuff via Duncan Barford and Alan Chapman, and spent a few years with that, hanging around with my good friend Spud, and we did the Task the Podcast, and we kind of unpacked all of that and went through it all. And again, what happened in the end is that I kind of felt that once the sheen and the gloss had kind of been removed, that it wasn't speaking to what I want. And that kind of a weird thing started happening at that point. I really noticed it first around September 2022. And I know I'm jumping a bit all over the place here, but, you know, it's been a while since I did a podcast, so please forgive me while my while I try and get my brain into podcast mode. But what I noticed is that I had become very much out of step with my contemporaries, with my compatriots, the people around me, the people in the communities, the online communities, the people I was talking to. And before I start this, I want to say, all of this is about me. It's nothing to do with them. I'm not in any way trying to, give blame outside myself. This is totally me and my patterns and how I work. All of them seem quite certain what they want and quite forceful in talking about it and quite, I suppose, you know, in a sense, a contraction, because when you find that something that you're into and it works for you and you've decided this is true, then you've contracted down and, you know, and you've delineated the bits where you go, this is for me and that's not for me. And what I found is that this kind of sense, there was a certain kind of egregore pendulum, if you want, from reality transurfing, which is like an energy vortex. There was a certain aura that was of particular ideas, particular outlooks, things that were acceptable, not acceptable, things that could be talked about, things that couldn't. And if you tried to kind of sphere out of any of that, it was always brought back to a certain type of outlook. And this is fine. If you happen to call round to a load of Christians every day, you can't really get annoyed or upset that they're always talking about Jesus. But what I found was I was getting a bit upset and a bit annoyed and a bit reactionary to people constantly talking about whatever, Jesus, or this kind of pendulum thing that was going on. And a lot of what happened to me was I was trying to remove different elements of my life, the different kind of influences, the different things, and it became, my entire outlook became reactionary. It became not that. It's not that. Rather than knowing what it was, it was just, and it, in a sense, not that I was arguing an awful lot online, because it eventually came to the point where I goes, I just have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. I don't want to talk about any of this. I don't want to do any of it. But within the scope of this pendulum, this energy, this personality, this group mentality, this, I'm getting into kind of negative words in it. It's not. It's, again, it's like going to talk to a Catholic and going, why are you always talking about Jesus? It's that. It's because ultimately the problem was some of these communities that I were in, particularly the Discord one, was my community. And if it was another community, if it was something else, you know, you could just go, well, I'm just going to leave. But I didn't want to leave my own community that I'd set up, but I also couldn't stay because I wasn't into what they were into. And what they were into is fine. It's totally fine. Whatever you're into, you're into. It's not a judgment on what they're into. It's just not that what I was into. And a friend of mine left the Discord, the community, the Adventure Movie Discord. And he goes, you know, it's just not into it. It's, you know, this isn't what I'm looking for. And I was going, yeah, I feel exactly the same, but it's mine, you know, so what do I do? Eventually what I did is I handed over the keys to another friend of mine, Jason, and Spud, and Vince, and Gene, and Robbie, and the, you know, the admins of the place, and just kind of stepped back from it, took my name off the door, and, you know, just kind of, right, okay, rather than just, you know, bombing the whole thing and go, oh, I'm not into it, so none of yous are getting to play in this house anymore, or whatever, which is a terrible thing to do, and people do that all the time, particularly in, like, say, Facebook groups or Reddit sub-forums where the admin has decided that it's not what he wanted, and so they'd nuke the place. I certainly didn't want to do that. And as it turns out, I pop in every now and again, it's flourishing, people are talking, loads of new people have joined, and it's doing very well. So that was the right move. And I certainly have felt immense weight off my shoulder and pressure off my shoulder. And I could feel immediately the contraction widening. And why I kind of took a break from doing podcasts and vlogs for a long while is because I was saying, I don't have anything to say. There's nothing I want to talk about. But what I discovered was that I had nothing to say within the confines of this pendulum. Again, the pendulum is like a vortex. It's like your family unit. It's that you kind of, when you're hanging around your family, you're kind of forced into a type of energy or type of being, type of conversations that are allowable, the certain dynamics, there's control, the rules, the unwritten rules, all of this kind of stuff that you're kind of forced into by being part of this pendulum or this vortex or this whatever. Is the pendulum, it's a terrible name, but it's the idea is the best way I can find for describing these certain things. And so I was going, well, I don't have anything to say. I was going, no, as soon as I left the pendulum, and I could kind of, and was out, I was going, oh no, I have loads to say. I have loads to talk about. It's just, I don't want to argue about it. And I don't want to kind of try and say, well, my way of it is better than your way, or you should feel like I feel, or convince people of it, or anything like that. It's just, once I moved out of this movement of this contraction, I was like, oh, I have plenty to say. And I could just like opened up in a huge way to different things, and different ideas and different thoughts. And it was kind of this expansion feeling, which was brilliant. And I've been in such good mood and such, you know, a lot less angry, a lot less, I've way more patience, trying my best to be more loving, more kind, more open, all of these things. My meditation practice is fantastic at the minute. And it's not solely just because I left the Adventures in Woo-Woo Discord. It's not just that. That would be very unfair to paint that picture. It was everything I've done since particularly November 2022, when everything just fell apart after a particular working that we did, which again, I'm not fully blaming that either. These are patterns that are returning all the time in my life, each one a bit more severe. You know, you better get it this time, man, or the next one's going to be worse. So it was an awful lot of things, removing different influences from my life, joining different things. I joined a Facebook Irish witchcraft, because I have a huge interest in witchcraft as part of the feminine, the mother principle, the witch belongs to the world after all. And I joined, and then I was, you know, good on to well, asked me to be an admin of that, which I'm doing and enjoying quite well. It's another avenue, another outlet, another kind of view and things. I joined a few other different communities in different places, you know, just to try and not be so contracted about things, to be more open. And some of these communities, I'm not necessarily into exactly their views. There's a particular Hindu Discord. I don't understand an awful lot of it because, you know, they use, you know, the proper words and terms for all of these things. And I don't really follow an awful lot of it, but I kind of really enjoy the openness of it, the adventure that it's like, well, here's a whole new landscape that I know nothing about that I can, you know, have a look and see rather than being so contracted into different things. I won't go too far off today. I could go into a whole spiel here about all the different things I'm into. And Edward Bryant has become a huge deal in my life at the minute. He's just fantastic. Really, really brilliant. And so that's kind of, I guess, that's up to date. That I'm in a really good place at the minute and really want to talk about these things. I want to, you know, do more art, be more creative, do more music, talk about it, how all of that kind of intersects. Because all of these things to me are part of the same thing. The writing, the drawing, the comics, the music, the podcasts, the whole thing. It's all just an expression of, if you want to say, Shakti or the mother or whatever. This coming out, this creativity, this desire, this expansive, the evolution principle or the creative impulse. And so if I'm kind of lacking one of the areas, I feel incomplete. Which also, I have a big issue, and I've talked about along over the last while to different people, and I probably bored them to death, this kind of idea of the difference between mysticism and magic, which I'm definitely going to explore coming up, because I've become more and more convinced of that. But what I was wrong, and it's something that I'm very much working on now, is that it has to be one or the other. Whereas I can see it now as there's a Trinitarian aspect of the father, the mother, the child, which I will get into. I'm sorry for, it's so all-pervading in my head at the minute, that involves not necessarily a balance, but a synergy that involves both polarities. Well, actually, three different things. You'll have to check out the next episode if you're interested in that. But one other thing I've noticed as well is that I was not allowing myself to incorporate ideas from people, say, I didn't like, or that rubbed me the wrong way, or from philosophies that I didn't like one particular thing. Like, say, Vedanta or Advaita or Dvaita Vedanta, because it's a non-dual kind of aspect, the world is an illusion, to kind of throw that entirely away and go, well, stop doing that. Stop throwing the entirety of philosophies away just because one thing doesn't gel with you, or because you don't particularly like a particular teacher or a particular approach, or that the kind of, you know, the followers, like, say, throw away Thelema because all people who are in Thelema are generally of a particular personality, you know, and just kind of throwing all these things away because of certain elements, because of negative elements, and go, no, well, be open to all of these things. And that's one of my things that I'm trying to approach and trying to do, is to be as open as possible, to have as less opinions as I possibly can about things, to be undecided about so much, to not have to come to conclusions around things, to just let things move expansively rather than constantly having to delineate or contract or put it in a box. Yes, no, you know, just allow all of it and just to be... It's just a wonderful place to be, because you're not holding on to anything. You're not kind of grasping at anything, if you want, from like a Buddhist sense. You're not trying to prove anything right. You don't have to defend anything, which is such an interesting thing that I've noticed about myself, that I tend to defend ideas, philosophies or whatever. They're not even my own. They're just philosophies. But it's just, I feel in some hands, some way to attack a philosophy is to that I might agree with. And not necessarily is to attack me. And it's like, just get rid of all of that. Just allow everything whatever presents itself, which is another thing that I want to talk about as we go through the different podcasts, is how the different things are presenting themselves and what that means, because I got a very deep insight around that recently. Another thing is trying to be kind. Just be kind. You know, it's like, say, that idea of I could have very easily just nuked the Adventures in Woo-Woo Discord. You know, it's mine. I can do whatever I want. It's not kind. It's not a kind thing to do. And it would be feel like to me like I was trying to prove a point, or I was deliberately being unkind. A great example of this is that you can put up a post on Facebook and it would go, Jim and Jim are going to the shop. If you want to know more about Jim and Jim, here's the link. And then you'll get a message going, I'd like to know more about Jim and Jim. Is there a link or something? And you could reply by going, as said in the original post, if you idiot, if you just look and if you just actually read it, you will see that the link is in the post. And then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Big angry head on you. Big self-righteous, condescending, thinking you're better than everyone. Or you could just go, yeah, here's the link. They go, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. And everyone leaves feeling good. You've done something nice. So, you know, you can feel good about yourself, or just feel neutral about yourself that you weren't being an arsehole. And then don't get, you know, chastised for just not reading a Facebook post. Like, who cares? So that's the kind of thing. Be kind. And I want to be kind in all these situations and all my interactions where I can, you have to decide, do I want to make a point? Am I trying to make a point, or do I just want the thing to happen? And I just want the thing to happen. I want the desired outcome. I'm no longer interested in trying to make points or trying to win battles or get revenge or something like that. Whatever it is, it's just be kind. Be open, be kind, less opinions. Don't hold on to things. Be more loving, be optimistic, but, you know, be open to pessimism. You can't be, you know, if you're going to be open, you have to be open to all of it. Not let the world completely engulf me, as it can easily do, or whatever. I've been reading the Bhagavad Gita recently, and it's interesting that it's Arjuna and Krishna talking on the cusp of a huge war, and Arjuna's going, I can't do it, man, I can't. It's just too much. I you know, if I do this, then that's terrible. If I let them do what they want, that's terrible. It's just, oh, and he's just falling apart. And Krishna just says to him, Arjuna, what's going on exactly? Why are you being so weak? You know, not in a kind of chastity, but like, you know, no, this is what it is. This is the place. There's always a battle. There's always something. This is the nature of the place in which we find ourselves. And you are a warrior. So that's what you have to do, be a warrior. And so I am who I am, and that's who I need to be, and that's what I'm going to be. And you are who you are, and that's what you should be. And not kind of shy away from it, not get contracted from it, and not kind of let the angriest voice or the people who shout, the people who are most demanding, the people who are angriest, tell you who you are or what the world is or what life should be, or to scare you, to doom you, to persuade you in some way, to quiet yourself, find a love in your heart and come from that. Be kind, be open, be generous, hold on to nothing, grasp at nothing. And everything then is available to you, all of it. All of it, because you haven't limited yourself in any way in your outcome or who you are. So that's probably rambly enough for the first episode, where I had 3 pages of notes and didn't look at any of them. I wonder how much of what I wanted to say I said. So, yeah. And so that was the first episode of the Adventures in Woo-Woo reboot, renewal, rejuvenation, Phoenix from Flames, etc., etc. And I will get it more into my groove of this. The first episode always is a bit hard to do because you're trying to set up what is it you're trying to do, but also explain to people who you are for those who've never come across you before, what your approach is. And particularly where I am now in this kind of more open space, I'm not really sure what my approach is, other than just to reiterate what I was saying earlier on. I'm definitely 100% not trying to present myself in any way as an expert, a teacher, or a guru, or someone who knows anything more than you do. You are the expert in your own life, in your own spirituality, and I'm part of the Arcane School, which part of what it says is that the era of gurus is over, and I completely agree with that. I think particularly in the West, where it was less of an intrinsic societal cultural thing, the guru thing hasn't been as successful as it probably could have, because of just the amount of scandals and of people you know, people just not having that kind of full ability to work on both sides of things. Very advanced, possibly spiritually shitty people. And I think it's important to have both kind of things. And I'm certainly not there. So I don't want to present myself in a way that I am there. It was a podcast I did years ago now at this stage, where it says not adding to the noise or not adding to the bullshit. I can't remember the exact, I assume it was bullshit, but whether I used the word or not as the actual title. And it's just, don't add more confusion to things. And I don't want to do that. So by presenting myself as someone who knows something would be adding more to confusion, or if I'm certain about things, whatever. I'm only ever talking about myself, ever, in this podcast. And I think that's very important to say, because in previous, I've done podcasts or I've done interviews or people have asked me about things and I've talked about myself, and then people have subsequently got annoyed with me because they're saying, but that's not how my life is. And can't understand, I'm going, I'm not talking about your life. You know, the advice I would give myself or the approach I would give is for me. And I'm not in a position to tell you about your life because I don't know your life. And even if I do know your life, I'm still not in a qualified position to tell you anything about anything. So this podcast is just about someone who's on the same path as you, trying to find out what this is all about. And I will share any insights that I have, any experiences that I have, both the good and the bad. I will hold nothing back. I'll have the most honest approach as I possibly can, given, you know, the nature of my karma or my personality will allow me. But yeah, fellow sufferer. I really like that. Crowley calls himself that at the beginning of Magic Without Tears. So if you would like to support me as I do all the things I do, not just the podcast, it's the comics. While I'm here, I have to talk about Turbine Syndrome. I have 5 chapters of the next book written and laid out. Work is going on about that. It's just there's nothing I can show people as yet, but I haven't forgotten about that. It's just slow and steady, but it's coming. Volume 2 is coming. So if you would like to help me out with that or any of the things, the music, all of that, well, all the links are on my website where you can buy the music, buy the comics, join the Patreon. Join the Patreon anyway, because there's a free tier and I post stuff there all the time and it's free, but it's some of the higher tier stuff won't be available to you, but it you know, plenty of free stuff and all these things. Same on the website, same all the 47 servant stuff, all of that 47 is going to be used for free. All of these things I offer to you for free. If you would like me to continue being able to offer things for free, then please do consider supporting me in some way. That includes sharing, telling people, annoying people, rapping on people's doors and handing them leaflets that has my name on it. Don't do that, unless you really want to, and all of that stuff. But the links will all be in the show description if you would like to do that. So, good people of the internet, back in the day when I first started this, I always tried to finish it with a blessing for all of us so that we could go into our lives after finishing the having our brief conversation and have something to take with us. And so my blessing for you this week is that I hope you find the places in which you are contracted, the places in which you don't fit in, the places in which that you are feeling that you can't be yourself, and be able to, if you can't remove yourself, but if you can, do, to be able to flourish within those and to find yourself less contracted, to open yourself up to all the different possibilities, to not let those around you who you possibly trying to help, but in some way might be hindering, to not become contracted because of it. Not to let them tell you who you are. Not to let the world tell you who you are. May you know who you are because you know who you are. And may you go into the world and be open, kind and generous so that everyone else finds out how to be open, kind and generous and be who they are from the place of love that is in their heart. So that's my blessing for all of us, and that's something I'm certainly working on. And I hope that you have a great week. And may our best days be ahead.